It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the UW's Dictionary of American Regional English interviewed people around the country in the 1960s to map the diversity of our language. Now they're going digital. We'll find out how the conversations serve as an unintentional time capsule.
First, today marked the opening of the four-day United Nations General Assembly meeting in New York. It also marked President Trump's first appearance before a body that he heavily criticized on the campaign trail.
In a special session today, Trump said, quote, bureaucracy and mismanagement, end quote, were preventing the organization from reaching its full potential. Tomorrow, the president will address the entire General Assembly, which is composed of 193 nations. Some have called this the Super Bowl of diplomacy.
Nahal Tusi is foreign affairs correspondent at Politico. Nahal, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Can you give us a sense of how significant this speech is for a new president?
Well, it's a very important moment for him. This is his first truly global audience that he's going to meet face-to-face. And these aren't just any people. These are the leaders of dozens of countries across the world. So the message that he gives them can have a lot of impact in terms of their thinking about him. And from what we're hearing, he's going to really kind of challenge the United Nations and the world community to work together in a way that is, more respectful of national sovereignty and more in terms of burden sharing, lead other countries to step up and do more of their part than just leaving a lot of things to the United States.
Now, President Trump, over the years, has had various stances on the United Nations as a real estate developer. In that role, he's been more positive. Lately, on the campaign trail, he's certainly been more critical. What's expected of him going in? Are tensions running high for this?
It's a very widely anticipated speech, but I wouldn't say that there's a lot of tensions running high. Of course, I suppose if you're the North Korean delegation, you might be a little bit tense. And if you're the Iranian delegation, you might be a little bit tense. But generally speaking, I think people are going to expect Trump to offer a mixed message. On the one hand, saying, like he has very recently, saying that the UN has great potential. But on the other hand, saying, look, various countries have their own sovereignty, and we need to respect that. And more countries need to step up and not just simply rely on the U.S. to lead everything. And also just the issue of UN reform, which is just that the UN is kind of this, like, bizarre, Byzantine organization whose lines of authority basically look like a spaghetti bowl. And he's just going to call on them to reform that and make things more streamlined, more efficient, less bureaucratic, and certainly less corrupt. And frankly, that's something that he's going to have wide support for across the UN and the world.
Now, the president spoke to a limited group today. What did he say?
Today the event was about UN reform, and he hosted it, and he said that he thinks the UN has a lot of potential. And that's kind of a message a lot of people do want to hear. They were a little bit worried that he might basically say, look, it's useless, why are we doing this? He came in and said there is potential for this organization to function better, to be more effective, to have a role to play. And that really, it's interesting because it dovetails with what the UN Secretary General wants to do. He really wants to reform the United Nations. At the same time, it's a really great political message for Trump because his domestic base, which is somewhat nationalist leaning and skeptical of organizations like the UN, he can tell them, hey, look, I pushed the UN to reform. I pushed it to get better. And so that kind of works for him both ways.
There seems to be a contrast between the attitudes of former President Barack Obama and the new president, Donald Trump. What has that done to set up the difference in expectations and how the new UN, if it takes Donald Trump up on some of his suggestions, might function?
Well, I would argue that, the Trump administration is much more forceful about what it wants. I mean, Obama also wanted UN reform, but he just wasn't pushing the issue as much. But I would also say that Obama, like a lot of people, liked him because they felt like they could predict him. They felt like he was an internationalist, a globalist, that he understood them, that he believed in the value of alliances and multilateral organizations and international negotiations, not simply bilateral ones. Whereas with Trump, the one thing people will simply say is, we just don't know what he's going to do. He's mercurial. He's unpredictable. So, when people say, what's he going to say tomorrow during his speech, we always have to give a caveat of, look, it's Trump. He might just go off script. He might say something we cannot predict whatsoever. So that's the one thing that really rattles people overseas, is that they don't know what he's going to do. And that worries adversaries, probably, but it also worries U.S. allies.
We're talking with Nahal Tusi right now, political foreign affairs correspondent, and she's joining us to look at President Trump's first major speech to the United Nations, which is coming up tomorrow, and looking at issues, a simple issue of funding, of solvency for the UN. Where does that stand, or where is it likely to stand under President Trump?
You mean in terms of his support for funding? Well, no. Part of what Trump has done is propose serious budget cuts to foreign aid that the U.S. disperses, and that includes cuts to the U.N. budget. Now, the U.S. offers 22% of the U.N.'s core biennial budget. That's a lot, far larger than any other group, and Trump and others want to reduce that. Now, whether Congress goes along with it, so far the Senate has not shown any indication it's going to go along with the budget cuts that Trump is proposing, but simply the mere threat of cutting the U.N.'s budget has led people at the U.N. to think, you know what, maybe we need to shape up a little bit. And so when it comes to U.N. peacekeeping, for example, they have agreed to $500 million in cuts. It's not as much as Nikki Haley, our U.N. ambassador, wanted or what Trump wanted, but it's still a lot more than many people thought that we would have gotten.
Now, early on, when President Trump was still campaigning, when he was a candidate, there was disagreement in the approach that the UN was taking with China. Is there an update on that? And has he made any recent remarks on that?
With China? Well, you know, when it comes to China, President Trump really sees his lens on China is largely about trade. He has, for years, felt like China has been snookering the U.S. on trade and basically like just policing the U.S. And he's learning, however, that when it comes to the United Nations, he needs China on a number of issues, especially North Korea and how to deal with North Korea. So on the one hand, he wants to go after China on in international forums that deal with trade. On the other hand, he wants to keep their good graces to help reduce the threat from North Korea. And this is just one of those real challenges. It's a question of what is more important, what's going to have a longer term effect, and you know, to some degree, they're trying to play both sides. And the Trump administration is going after China on some fronts on trade, but probably not as hard as they would be going were it not for the North Korea issue.
Now, the North Korea issue is one that is present and is ongoing. Is the president expected to make any remarks about that, or stick to the generalities about the UN and how it functions?
He's definitely going to be talking about North Korea tomorrow, really calling them out. And in all likelihood, he will call out China for not doing enough and possibly even call out Russia, which some people are reporting has been not that helpful on the North Korea issue. So I do definitely expect President Trump to discuss the North Korean nuclear threat during his speech tomorrow, and in probably some pretty tough terms. Of course, you know, we've also noticed is that whenever President Trump says something really tough, like North Korea is going to be met with fire and fury or whatever, the North Koreans don't necessarily react to that the way he might like. They just keep testing missiles and nuclear weapons, and it just keeps escalating things. So this is the question. Is he going to keep escalating it, or is he going to look for a way to calm things down?
Now, you said that it could be that allies overseas would be a little more tense in the fact that they might not know what the president is going to say. Is there a list of expectations for allies and others who are looking for him to say particular things tomorrow?
Well, I think a lot of them want to hear that he does believe in the value of multilateral organizations like the United Nations. They are worried about this idea of America first, the slogan that Mr. Trump has bandied about, and they are hoping that at the very least he will assure them, look, America first does not mean America alone. But it's all about the tone. It's all about the exact wording. But I will also say this. It's not just about what he says. It's also about what his administration does. A lot of times Trump's rhetoric is much further ahead than his administration's actual actions. And the other thing I should add is a lot of people are also wondering what Trump will tweet before and after his speech, and whether that could possibly undercut any of the goodwill that he might gain through the speech.
Nahal, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Nahal Tusi, Politico foreign affairs correspondent, joining us to look at President Trump's first major speech to the United Nations, which is coming up tomorrow. And you can join us tomorrow afternoon here on Central Time when we'll have more in-depth coverage of the president's upcoming remarks.